Hey, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you declare such great blessing and blessedness, Lord, upon us. Help us, Father, to see Christ and all that he has done this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Waikane Congregational Church sends their greetings. Able to get to fellowship with them this morning, and so they again say hello all the way over from Waikane. So we're going to go ahead and read our text again, Romans 4. You can turn there to Romans chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. So again, Romans 4, 1 through 8. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And so today's text, we're going to be looking at that word blessed. What is it to be blessed? What is blessing? And we do see some people with that clothing brand that says that word blessed, right? You know, that kind of shows pretty flashy. And so we're going to be looking and discussing as our primary goal, what is it to be blessed? And so, of course, this blessedness comes to us straight out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is to be blessed or to have blessing? It's simply to have God's favor. To have God's gift upon you or favor upon you, therefore bringing happiness. What's the opposite of blessing? Of course, it's being under God's curse or under God's wrath. And so God does not want to hide this from us. He declares it to us to all creation, to all people, that there is definite blessing out there for us to be had. And there is definite curse also. And so we don't want to get it wrong. And so today we're going to labor and glorying in how do we receive that blessedness as our primary goal. And so at the same time as we glory in that blessedness, we're going to be warned about the curse. And God's grace declares this to us, of course, in the gospel. And so, starting off with our text in Romans 4, we're right in the middle of a heavy discussion. We, of course, just finished chapter 3, and now we're starting the beginning of verse 1 in chapter 4, and we're in this discussion of the right way to live, the right way to be blessed. And so, again, Jesus, when he lived, he made it pretty clear, which Paul, in a sense, kind of copies him, when Jesus says, there's a broad road that leads to hell, right? And there's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And so Paul, in a similar way, is going to lay out two roads before us. One's the wrong way, and one's the right way. And at the end of it, one's going to be blessed, and one's going to be cursed. And so we see that is what we're going to be looking into. And so, again, there's a big theological word that most of you know, thankfully, which is going to be justification. You guys know that this simply means to be made right with God. Pastor Billy said, you know, just as if I never sinned, right? So we're going to see Paul is going to be using that big word, justification. But when you hear that, you're just going to remember being made right with God. That is going to be what Paul is meaning by that big word, justification. And so in Romans 3, we know the bad news. The bad news, which is a part of the gospel, is declared to us very, very boldly, that the bad news is that all, verse 10 in chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so this means that in Jesus' analogy, everybody begins their life, every little boy or girl begins their life where? On that broad road that leads to hell. All have sinned. Soon as whenever there's that first sin, or that first sin, we see that they are immediately separated from God, under His wrath, under that curse of the divine justice they deserve for their sin. And they are immediately on that broad road that leads to hell. And so, to be justified, though, is to be in God's presence without the fear of being punished for your sin. And so that's what it would mean to be justified, that you can be in God's presence, in His holy, perfect presence, without fearing punishment for your sin. And so we see here, though, that as we're in the midst of this discussion, Paul again labored that whether it was breaking God's law by adultery or lying or anger or pride, all people are under that curse and are on that broad road that leads to that punishment of that sin. And so this is bad news, but I thought we were talking about blessedness, right? Of course, it's very important that we see where this blessedness comes about. And so talking about the blessedness is, how does this relate to this bad news of the curse, that broad road that everyone begins their journey with? And the blessing comes with the news that you can be justified. You can be made right with God. That's what it means to be blessed, right? Some people might think it means to be blessed with having many houses or fancy cars or lots of money, right? That's what the world would try to tell us it means to be blessed. Or they have lots of friends or popular. You know, they go to the Taylor Swift concerts. And just kidding. But that's what it would be blessed, where you have this, you know, all these things that you can do and live and have fun and have this entertainment. And so, but God declares to us that blessing only comes and relates to your relationship with God, being made right with God and being justified. And so our text, as it deals with that justification, Paul labors the two different ways. And so the first one, which is the wrong way to be justified, is to be, as we'll see in our text, is to be justified by works. Verse, you see, he will say, justified by works. Was Abraham justified by works? And he's going to labor the point that he's not. And so, what does it mean to be justified by works? This is where people all around us, they will do some kind of act or obedience or have some kind of privilege that would earn God's favor, God's blessing, right? So they have some kind of thing that they do that would earn God's favor. And so thus, they are made right before God by their works or what they've done. And so this comes about because this letter is written to the Jews. And the Jews at this point, and even down to today, they were taught by their leaders that you can please God through obedience to God's law. You can please God through obedience to God's law. And we see this kind of in our society that, hey, if you're good and that good outweighs the bad, then you'll be okay. Just that as long as your good outweighs your bad, or maybe you're just better than that person. But those works is how you earn your favor before God, how you are blessed because of that. And so, in a sense, because of your works, God is indebted to you because you've earned that favor. And so we see here that sounds like a good idea. Remember, this is the broad road, the wrong way to be justified. Just want to clarify that. But it sounds like a good idea. Especially, you know, God has given us His law, so if we obey God's law as God has given it to us, then that's how God will be happy, right? Doesn't that make that sounds pretty logical? But it's wrong. And it's because it makes sense to a proud heart that can't see their sin. It makes sense to the proud heart that thinks they're pretty good. They're not that bad, right? It's like, oh, maybe the little sin, but really that's not that bad. And so as they think they're doing good in these works, they think God is indebted to them. And so God should justify them because of their good works. But that's where Romans 3 comes in and declares to us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so God reveals very strongly that for those who try to find favor from God through merit or through works, they are actually incurring wrath. Back down in chapter 3, it says, verse 20, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." And so we see here that God is revealing it is not possible to earn God's favor because they're already on that broad road. They've already broken God's law and have incurred God's wrath. So as they try and do good, they are already under the curse. They are already on that broad road that leads to destruction. And so they can't earn God's favor because of that. And so they have a debt. God is not indebted to them. They have a debt that they have to pay. And so we see that that will be the wrath that their sins have committed. And so we move now to the good news. The good way. The right way, I'll say. And this is where in our text, Paul will labor to give Abraham, he'll hold up Abraham as an illustration. He will show us Abraham so that we can understand the right way, that narrow way, and what it means to be justified, to be made right with God through faith. And so this is where we start our text, verse 1 and 2. It says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." So right here, Paul is declaring, does Abraham have anything to boast about? Did he have any works? No, not at all. Not a single thing. And so, as Paul is illustrating to the Jewish audience, they would have lifted up Abraham as one that had circumcision and obeyed. But Paul brings up to the point that Abraham, he was called out of being a pagan. He had done nothing when he believed God and was counted for righteousness. And so there was nothing that Abraham could boast in himself, no works at all. And so Paul then continues in verse 3. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." This is the glimmer of hope of the beginning of the blessedness. The phrase counted to him for righteousness is another way of saying Abraham was justified. Abraham was made right with God. And how was this? It simply was he believed God. Nothing of his doing. All of the curse for his sin, all the wrath that he deserved, was completely wiped away because he simply believed God's word by faith. And so we see that verse 4 continues to kind of further press this point. He says, "Now to him who works, wages are not counted as a grace or gift, but as a debt." And so this describes that Abraham did not work for this righteousness. This was a gift given to him. It was grace, or better, a gift to him. He didn't earn it, and it was not indebted to him at all. And so God's grace was a gift to Abraham. And so verse 5 continues, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." So we see here that this illustrates the right way, that narrow way. Abraham was on that broad road as a pagan. And when God called out to him, what did he do? He plucked Abraham from that broad road and placed him in that narrow road, giving him that gift of faith. And we see here that just the trust or believing is that way to be made right with God, to be justified. There is one way Paul is laboring, and it's believing the gospel, trusting in Jesus. Sinners, all of us, all people are ungodly. And sinners, the only way to be made right with God is through believing in Jesus Christ, the one who justifies the ungodly. And so we see here that when you look at Abraham, can he brag about anything? Can he boast about who he was and his privilege or what he had done? No, not at all. All glory goes to God and what God has done in calling this ungodly man, this sinner, this wicked sinner, Abraham, out of his paganism. And so now we reach the climax, not archaism, our climax of our section. We reach where Paul will pour forth what David saw also back in the Psalms. And then that's where we come to the verse 6. "And just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works." Verse 7, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." This is the blessed state of that narrow way. This is the blessed state of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone, by grace alone. And so we see this is the battleground for the heart for this truth. Because so often around us, we hear over and over, works. Just be good. You're okay. Just do it. You can do it. But then we miss the blessedness that God declares to us of that narrow way. And so what we see is here that amazingly, a sinner who is indebted a great debt because of their sin on that broad road now is completely freed from the law, from the curse, from the hell-bound path that they were on. And that is the blessed state And so no longer are they cursed. No longer are they living under that judgment. But now they have life. Life eternal. And that blessed state is not just for this temporal life, but through death and on forever do we have this blessedness. This state of being made right with God. Never to fear our sin because it has been paid for by Christ. Just we are justified. And so our minds so quickly will creep back into worrying about how we're doing, how our performance is. The world tries to tell us we need to do this and perform. But we need to run back to this amazing truth of the blessedness of being justified by faith. And let me put it this way. The world, right, they will declare to you blessedness as all those cars, those fancy houses, what you see on the TV, the entertainment, right? That's what it is to be blessed. It's to have an easy life, right? Not have to fight, not have to struggle. But imagine you're on the broad road to hell. And of course, you're on that road because you've sinned. You justly deserve that broad road because you're a sinner and you've broken God's law. And the wrath that's coming your way because you've broken God's law. But as you're on this broad road to hell, you see an exit. Right? You see the exit and it says, faith in Jesus Christ. Enter here to the narrow way. Right? But as you're about to take that exit, someone with nice clothes comes to you and says, hey, I'll give you whatever you want. Just stay on this side. Just listen to what I got and I can give you whatever you want. You can have as many friends as you want. You can have as many houses as you want. You can have football teams, entertainment, all the pleasures. You can travel the world. Just ignore that exit sign, right? And if you think that, oh, he's going to get, I want $20 trillion, and I'll stay. Could you imagine all of that, but at the end of it, you still are cursed. No matter what we could receive in this world, it's not a blessing if we don't have God's favor. If we are not right with God, all that $20 trillion won't do us anything. It's just going to lead us further and further away from God. And no matter what we could do, we can't buy it. We can't earn it. And that's the scary thing for so many people we know, and maybe some people here, who work to earn favor. But for the narrow way, that very, very narrow way, that is the importance of that faith in Jesus Christ. Because all of that blessedness that the world goes after is not anything in comparison to God's wiping away our sin. God paying for that wrath on the cross himself, dying in our place. That's the blessedness that every time we sin, we look up and go, Lord, grace upon grace. And as things bring us down, we look up and we see his love to save an ungodly sinner like ourselves. And so how amazing is the blessedness that Jesus Christ offers us in the gospel. Completely made right with God. Justified. Not anything of our doing. Completely indebted to what Christ has done. Plucking us from that broad road to putting us on that narrow road. And so this is what it means to be justified by faith alone, apart from works. And this is what the true blessing is. And so, as we think about this, I ask you, how do you live? Do you live a cursed life, always working, trying to please God? Or do you live a blessed life, knowing that you have had the greatest blessing ever? Nothing can touch you. This body may die, but you are blessed because God is your heavenly Father. Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that's what David revels in. Imagining his sin, but at the same time, it is not counted against him. It is covered and forgiven all of his lawless deeds. And so do you live life knowing this gift? Is this gift that treasure that keeps you alive? That keeps you seeing where you are headed in that narrow road? You have received the greatest gift ever. God is your exceedingly great reward. And so this is what is declared to us in this blessedness. And so you know that you can love others because you have been loved and given a gift. And thus you can give to others. And so kids, I ask for your attention. I know I put you to sleep, but I'd ask you this simple question. Are you a superhero? Sounds kind of funny, right? Are you a superhero? What makes a superhero? You know, you think of Spider-Man. What does he have? He has a gift. He has spider powers, right, kids? Who loves Spider-Man? I know. Who loves Spider-Man? Superman, he has the gift of superpower, right? He's Superman. Even Ant-Man, right? What does he have the power? He can become an ant and talk to ants, right? And so we see that is super cool, having those gifts. But in the same way, when we are in Jesus Christ, we are in the spiritual realm, superheroes. We have gifts that come straight from Jesus Christ. And the superhero has their power in themselves, but our superhero power comes from Christ Himself, who's given us this blessed state. And so now we live and move in Him by such power, not in this physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. Because of His gift, His grace. And now you, kids, you have this gift from Jesus. Do you know this blessedness? Do you live by this? You are going to be different from the other kids. What they love, you know that's not true blessing. That popularity, that the worldliness that presses upon you, the screen time that tries to indoctrinate you. No. You know Christ. And He is your power. He is your gift. And so that's where I plant that seed. Are you a superhero? This is in the spiritual realm. To fight against sin. To fight against the world and the devil. And do you know His love, His gift to you? And so, as we come to even this Christmas season, in closing, what do we celebrate? Why is Christmas so wonderful? It is right here. It is the blessedness of the greatest gift coming to us in a manger, a baby born to die, that we would be made right with God. All our sin, our great multitude of sin, wiped clean, forgiven. And now we live in Him. May we share that with our neighbors. May we go to them and say, have you received a gift? There is a gift of God that we celebrate in Christmas for saving of your soul. And that is being made right with God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we tell our family, when we tell those at the Catholic Church, those at the Mormon Church, those at the Jehovah's Witness Church, we declare God's truth of justification by faith alone. As Abraham now celebrates this glory, as Abraham now rejoices of his blessedness, even this day, we get to rejoice with him even now. Let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, so often the darkness crowds in, and the doubts and the sin, Lord, but Lord, what glory. We can look up and see your light and see your love. That nothing of we have done, no works of ours, but your gift, plucking us from that broad road, placing us in that narrow road, Lord, that we would have life, life eternal. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. In your name, amen.